This is Nahyomi, Sefer Melachim Aleph, Chapter 8. Shlomo HaMelech assembles the elders and leaders of Israel in Jerusalem, and eventually the entire nation gathers there for a ceremony to dedicate the new Beit HaMikdash. The event is held in the month of Tishrei, just prior to the holiday of Sukkot. The Kohanim and Levi'im carry the Ark, the Tabernacle, and all of its original vessels to Jerusalem, and many sacrifices are offered. The Kohanim then bring the Ark of the Covenant into the Holy of Holies in the new temple, and deposit it beneath the wings of the large Kiruvim that Shlomo HaMelech had placed there. Shlomo had fashioned new staves for the ark, new poles, that were especially long and protruded from the Holy of Holies. They could be seen by someone standing in the Heichal. Once the Kohanim left the sanctuary, a cloud representing the divine presence filled the Beit HaMikdash, making further entry or service temporarily impossible. Shlomo then delivers two speeches. The first is a lengthy but beautiful and moving monologue known as the Prayer of Shlomo, Tefillat Shlomo. As with all biblical poetry, it needs really to be read word for word to be appreciated. Shlomo begins by acknowledging Hashem's fulfillment of his promise to David that he would have a worthy successor sitting on the throne of Israel. And Shlomo prays that he will continue to merit that honor. He identifies the paradox of creating a house for God. Hashem is obviously infinite and transcendent and can't be contained even by the heavens, much less in a home constructed by human beings. Shlomo therefore beseeches Hashem that he take special note of the prayers offered in the temple and catalogues an array of circumstances under which people supplicate to God. For example, when they've sinned and repented, when there's a crisis or famine, when they must head out to battle, or when they've been taken into captivity. He specifically requests that Hashem answer the prayers of non-Jews who arrive at the Beit HaMikdash in search of a relationship with the God of Israel. Over the course of his speech, Shlomo stresses multiple times that while the worship of Hashem will occur on earth at the temple, Hashem will hear the supplications in heaven, his true dwelling place, and respond accordingly. Finally, Shlomo offers a short prayer addressed to the assembled populace. He thanks Hashem for having fulfilled all of the promises he made to the Jewish people and asks the Almighty to help the Jews maintain their faithfulness to Torah so they can continue to merit his blessings and to teach the world the truth of monotheism. Shlomo closes by exhorting his fellow Israelites to carefully observe all of the laws of the Torah. The future will depend on their proper exercise of free will. Tens of thousands more sacrifices were offered that day, and the people celebrated the dedication of the temple for 7 days, followed by the 7 days of Sukkot. On the 8th day, Shemini Atzeret, the king blesses the people and sends them home. There are a number of ideas worth highlighting in this beautiful chapter. Shlomo uses the words machon neshivtecha, a place for your dwelling, several times, borrowing the phrase that was used by the Jews when they crossed the Sea of Reeds. You have made a place for your dwelling, machon neshivtecha pa'alta Hashem. This is another instance of the theme that the dedication of the Beit HaMikdash was really the final stage of the Exodus journey. Shlomo's references throughout his prayer to the Exodus and the establishment of the Jews as God's people accentuate and emphasize this theme even further. Two critical theological notions are articulated in this chapter. Many people assume that the struggle against anthropomorphism and the belief that God is outside of space and time are modern phenomena, and that the personalities of the Bible had a much less sophisticated concept of God's relationship with his creation. Shlomo's prayer demonstrates that, on the contrary, from the very beginning of the consecration of the Mikdash, it was never understood to be Hashem's home in a literal sense. Hashem transcends all of his creation. While the experience of entering and worshiping in the Beit HaMikdash is immensely powerful and promotes tremendous concentration and depth of thought, the purpose it serves is a human one. Hashem is not limited to any one location, nor does he hear prayer any less when it's offered outside of the temple. Shlomo merely asks that the temple be a worthy and effective vehicle of uplifting the prayers of those who visit it. The second theological idea Shlomo gives expression to is the focus on prayer rather than sacrifice in the temple. Again, one hears very often that our downplaying of sacrifices is the result of modern sensibilities that see such ritual forms as archaic. Many people have a bloody and negative perception of the Beit HaMikdash as a result and feel that it is incongruous with today's world. Yet from Shlomo's words, it's quite evident that he understood the temple primarily as a national center for prayer, not sacrifice. Nowhere in his lengthy supplication does he mention the offering of sacrifices in the temple, nor does he request that such sacrifices be accepted there, even though he himself offers tens of thousands of sacrifices on that very day. As Isaiah Yeshayahu famously writes in his book, the house of God is meant to be the quintessential house of prayer. Although sacrifice is a part of the temple operations and is respected for the function it serves, it is not considered the main path of a person to Hashem. To law study, charitable acts and prayer are assigned superiority over most other commandments and observances, and certainly above sacrifice. One last question raised in the commentaries pertains to Yom Kippur. According to the text, the Jewish people celebrated for the 7 days prior to Sukkot. This means, by definition, that they partied on Yom Kippur. The Talmud and traditional commentaries accept this conclusion and state that the Jews indeed ate on Yom Kippur that year, but they were absolved from any consequences and promised a place in the world to come. What was the basis for dispensing with Yom Kippur that year? In order to understand the answer, we must put Yom Kippur itself into perspective. In essence, Yom Kippur is like hitting the reset button on our service of Hashem. Over the course of the year, we become lazy, sloppy, presumptuous, and generally out of focus in our worship of God. Yom Kippur is a day on which we acknowledge our failings and recalibrate with the divine presence, as it were. The commandment of Yom Kippur, after all, was given in the aftermath of the deaths of Nadav and Avihu, who approached Hashem inappropriately with an unauthorized form of worship on the final day of the tabernacle's dedication, and who lost their lives as a result. Yom Kippur is meant to remind us that we should not take the service of Hashem too lightly. Fascinatingly, the highlight of Yom Kippur is the entry of the Kohen Gadol into the Holy of Holies and his generating of a cloud of incense, a kind of simulation of the cloud of the divine presence that consecrated the sanctuary in order to reconsecrate it. So in that way, the Avodah of Yom Kippur, the service of Yom Kippur, is a type of reconsecration each year of the tabernacle, or in this case, the Beit HaMikdash, both of which were originally consecrated by clouds created by Hashem. This explains why Yom Kippur could be set aside this year, as it also was the year Ezra and Nehemiah dedicated the Second Temple. On these occasions, the Jewish people had reached a level of closeness to the Almighty that justified his resting of his presence upon their sanctuary. It was the beginning of the journey, the actual initial manifestation of the divine presence, and therefore the focus needed to be on the dedication of the sacred space, and not on the unworthiness of the people or their need for cleansing. Observing Yom Kippur that year and artificially creating the cloud of the Shekhinah would have diminished the impact of the actual encounter with Hashem that served to consecrate the temple.